Welcome once again to Dr. Fred Bell's Health, Science, and Energy Show. Wow. Holly Penfield from Andromeda with Love. What a music tape. That's from Andromeda with Love, our latest album. You'll be hearing a lot of that. You can, once again, that one is available, and you can be hearing it on the BBS radio network. Anyway, sorry for last week. I guess Dr. Len didn't get his tapes in time to do a show, but I will get Mr. Horowitz on the ball this week. So this week's show is going to be a little bit different than what we normally do. We're going to start with the archives of my old shows. This show that you're going to hear tonight was a lecture that I did at a UFO convention back in 1994, approximately 11 years ago. A few of the things that you probably are going to hear on there you've heard before, but you're going to see what I was talking about then, the sign of the times, what was going on. So there's going to be a bit of history in there, and there's going to be a lot on Pleiadian science. So it's going to be a little bumpy and a little fun, and I think you're going to learn a lot from this tape. I know I was listening to it earlier. I learned a lot from it. This last week, of course, I just pretty much realized that this last week is the political ramifications of the truth and justice coming out of the White House, the indictment of Libby. Those kinds of things, I think it just keys right into this tape. It's a lot of Pleiadian stuff that had come during contacts in that time. It was after my times with Sannyasi had quit, but there was still an occasional rift here and there of energy. And we're also going to learn some about the human brain tonight. I mean, this tape gets into the human brain and sensory perception. It goes into why some people can have contacts and others can't, the mechanisms of the brain, the mechanisms of the body, and I think that you're going to enjoy this tape. It also talks about the sign of the times. We realize we just had the Laguna fires in Orange County. We were having an uprise at that time of gang crimes, which now we still have, but other things have taken precedent now. We now have a much stronger police presence out here in Laguna Beach than we did in those days. A lot of things were in change. So 94 was a time of change. So I think it's going to be highly reflected into this. I'm getting more on my 13 listeners now. I've got 13 listeners that I know of, and I've gotten, I believe, 5 feedbacks, positive. That's really good. So a few other 8 would give me some positive feedback or negative feedback if you want. That goes into my self-rating ratings that we're posting up on blog. But if I get 100% feedback from my 13 listeners, I'll have the highest ratings per capita per listener of any history of any radio show. So I feel really good. And I know that you're asking questions occasionally. I don't know how to have all the answers yet. I'll have more answers later. There's a lot to get into, but I think we need to go into the educational process more, judging by some of the questions. So that's what these tapes archives are going to be about. And also, as I spoke of, as the current events depict, we'll be putting front page news up on the blog and service website. Right now, there's some back archives you might want to check out. I put up some more of my defense work out there. You'll see some of the companies I used to go to. If you go look into my personal files, and you'll see the companies written in my handwriting, of the 2,000 to 3,000 that I visited, and a lot of notes, and kind of comical, some of them, but that's the way it was in those days. So we're going to start, without any more ado, we're going to start the next continuation of the Dr. Fred Bell live show with a historical flashback. I take it back. This is the UFO Expo West San Francisco show, 1993. Well, I'd said earlier 1994, 1993. Okay.
So some of the extraterrestrial sciences, how the body works, these kinds of things. I'm sure most of you are aware of the changes that are going on the planet. Was everybody here at my lecture yesterday, pretty much? Is anybody that wasn't? You were all not here? Okay. Because we talked about the human aura yesterday a little bit and how that's being affected in the planetary changes. But what's happening basically is that the Earth and the Sun and the whole solar system is moving around the Pleiades. And that's why the Pleiades are such a, you know, a conversation. And I've been a contactee of Pleiadians since 1971. And the contacts began to wind down in 1989. Because the Pleiadians could no longer work or get any closer to the human affairs than they had through different contactees and channels. There's still some channeling going on, but this contacting stuff kind of ending, except for some activity that's happening down south of the equator. And the reason it's happening down there is because that civilization down there is a little bit behind the times as the one is up here. And having spent like almost 20 years with Sannyasi and different other Pleiadians, I asked her, I said, well, why are you wiped down? I mean, your science, your technology is so much more in advance than ours is. Are we making a contact switch? And she said, because Pleiadians cannot handle getting involved more than kind of like getting into the emotional body of man. They communicate through the emotional body of man. And doing this, if they get any closer on the physical contact, it will cause karmic backlashes to their own world. So for this reason, more of the advanced contactees like myself have been switched over to different groups. Billy Myers, as you know, has probably switched two or three times different groups through his existence here. The Andromeda, on the other hand, will get more involved with world affairs. And they will directly intervene, and they have already started to do that. That intervention has already been felt, and I'll try to lead up to some of that. Meanwhile, since back in the 50s, the extraterrestrials, known as the Greys, have been interfering with human events, causing, you know, trying to manipulate the human race, playing around with the government by the auspices of introducing the advanced superior technology. And I'm sure some of you remember the Pure Science magazine from last March. Some of the, maybe you remember that, seeing the aurora on the front cover. With all of you had, or some of you not see it. I've got some back there, just as I was going through these notes. I've got some pictures of just some of the ideas of what technology has done. Right, he's out. One of the things that I was talking to some people about yesterday. It's one of my common goals, is that why do we even have NASA anymore when we have such advanced spacecraft? It's called the Pumpkin 6, which is in flight now. It's called a single-stage entry vehicle. We have a pictures of not exactly the one that's called the Aurora, but this is another single stage entry vehicle that we have. It's not the Aurora. The Aurora I've seen is much larger than this even. And it comes down. It's a lot of ship coming down. Sure, just get them all together here and pass them around. The one they have, they call a mothership, which we've seen in Area 51. You get just an idea of the size of this thing. CR3 Mana is another one. I'll pass these around. You'll have to kind of hook them up. But this is the technology that they gave us in exchange for the right to abduct human beings, to do genetic experiments on human beings. But supposedly, according to the agreement, they weren't going to do, but of course they are. Well, it's over 300,000. For example, you know the TR-117 that's out now. This is the stealth bomber. The stealth fighter. It's been police ever since they brought it out. It was replaced by the TR-3 Manta, which is this, looks like that. That's the current one, which flies much higher than the 117. The 117, the only thing that's classified on it now is the instrumentation. I've talked to several 117 pilots. And this is some old stuff, but here you guys can just pass it around, you know. Bottom line is that we need to understand more about what's going on with our systems. And what we do is we teach people to become energy doctors. Okay, so you learn how to diagnose your own body, your own ailments. Believe me, I've been a target for the Grays for a number of years, and I always get some strange things hitting me all the time. If I go to a regular doctor and try to get diagnosed or treated in a regular method, they have no idea how to deal with me. So I have to fight these things that come on me, you know, as they do. And what we do, though, is once we teach you how to become an energy doctor, then what we do is your life will change a lot. When your life begins to change, what happens is you'll find a direction that's probably more spiritual satisfying, you know. PMS, for example, in women, is not a physical disease. It becomes a physical disease because the astral body is starved for purpose. Cancer is another one. Cancer is a will-to-live disease. Once again, the spirit is starved. And our society has a tendency, by being what it is, to starve our spirit of purpose, because this is what manipulation is all about. Okay, what people don't realize is that with the oncoming onslaught of the Grays and their influence and other negative extraterrestrials such as the lizard people, I know there's three different ones working with the government that have offices in Wright-Patterson base right now in Ohio. With these technologies coming on, the American public is not even close to realizing what's going on. And you see the split come out in the violence, like Orange County, where I live, for example. Our murder rate is probably approaching what New York City was a few years ago. Santa Ana is considered now one of the most deadliest small towns in Southern California for suicides and drive-by shootings and all the and murders and homicides. It's ridiculous. This is little old Orange County that 10 years ago was a bunch of oranges. And like this one guy in Santa Ana was being interviewed the other day on TV. He says, well, I moved down from East LA 15 years ago to Santa Ana. He says, there's more violence in Santa Ana than there was in East LA when I lived there, you know. So it's spreading. Even Laguna Beach, where I live, it used to be the chilling out zone for the different gangs. Now we have drive-by shootings in very close to the parameters of Laguna Beach, you know, like in El Toro, which is next door, or Laguna Niguel, which is next door, which is like 3 miles away. And then, of course, the spiritual purification of the fire that we just went through is another good example. But that has to do with the auric cleansing of the planet versus the drive-by shootings. But these are the kinds of things that are going on. Then you have your ELF waves, ELF warfare, which is very powerful and very influential in major cities. The ELF testing grounds or proving ground was Berlin. And before the wall came down, if any of you ever visited Berlin, you get a real taste of what ELF waves are like. But now ELF waves are everywhere, and they influence you through the ground wire here in your plug. It comes in through here. And I'll show you during the seminar what the ELF does to your metabolism. I just want to make you aware of some of these things. Nutrition is another area that's being attacked. Always has been attacked by the establishment. Not that the establishment doesn't understand it. The establishment understands it only too well. Result, every time a vitamin is found or an herb is found to help the body heal itself, you know, because nothing cures you. You have to cure yourself, but there's things that assist the body in healing. Anytime that they find something that's good for you, you used to create a scare. You know, for example, we had the vitamin A scare because it works in your immune system and you don't get sick as often. We had a B6 scare because it helped reverse Parkinson's disease, and that was a big thing. They took away tryptophan because it was killing the Valium market to the tune of $150 million a year. All these things were going on. So now, finally, what the government decided to do, say the hell with it on vitamins, we'll just take them all away from the people. And that's what they're trying to force through now, the legislation, where you have no rights to go to a health food store and buy anything. And that should go through on December 15th. Of course, it's being fought, but I mean, that's the bill that's currently up now. Just take away all your vitamins and all your herbs, minerals. You'll have to get a prescription, and then you'll get synthetics, which are even worse. So these are the kinds of things that are going on now. So it becomes necessary to arm yourself and understand what things do to you and how they work. The other side of the coin is the astral side of the coin, which frustrates the problem because we are rotating around the Pleiades, every 25,000 years, and we're going through these different sub-periods, which are called ages, and we have a higher level of integrating soul or incarnating soul coming in now. This causes a opening in the astral plane where it comes down on the physical plane. So therefore, where you used to go in your dreams becomes a living state of beingness now. And this is where the threshold of immortality lies and all these kinds of things. However, because of the way the astral plane is created, which I'll show you in a little bit, and how it manifests, the good and the bad exist all the way to perfection, wherever that may lie. So you'll never get away from the good or bad. What you have to do is get away from the desire to follow the evil path or the self-serving path. So the big thing to work with is transcending desire. And you can't suppress desire. When you suppress desire, you have side habits. You develop a whole host of bad habits. You have to face it square on and process it through your entire spiritual, mental, physical body. Okay? Once that happens, then you begin to control. You'll find that when you get up on the astral plane and the mental plane, especially on the astral plane, which is the main turf of the grave, that there's so much desire up there that you'll find when you get your own personal desires under control, that you'll be able to control the negative desires that are up there, and therefore influence, and have tremendous influence. And this was done by causing your body to generate large amounts of radiation. So first of all, I'll show you a little bit about how the body works. And of course, in an hour and a half or 2 hours, you never can do that much. Okay, first of all, the body is 5% mineral. Okay? This 5% mineral controls 95% of all metabolic functions. And the way that's done is that if you were to take an ordinary wire and hook a battery across it, you would have electricity moving in the negative direction to the positive direction of the battery. So if you had a wire here and you had electricity moving negative to positive, you would have magnetism at right angles. Okay? Basic law of electricity. Second thing is that's called direct current, DC electricity. The next thing is you have what's called alternating current. If you were to take the same wire and remove the battery and put a rotating north and south pole magnet. In other words, you would introduce magnetism into the wire and take away electricity. What would happen is, as the magnet traversed the wire, electricity would be found again inside the wire. So now you would have electricity moving back and forth, depending on the north pole, south pole polarity in the wire. And this creates alternating currents, or AC, or a frequency-sensitive electromagnetic vibration. If you were to turn this magnet around at 60 cycles per second, you'd have the frequency of what's going on inside of a light bulb. If you were to turn it around at 1,000 cycles per second, you would have the frequency that you could hear. You'd have an audible sound. If you would turn it around millions of times per second, you would create a second phenomenon in electromagnetism, wherein it would not only vibrate so fast past sound, through electromagnetic energy would go into the aura of visible light, okay? It would create light waves. If you were to go even more powerful and faster with it, you would go up into the frequencies of radiation. So all of the physical plane phenomenon of electromagnetic response and radiation, light, all of these things has to do with the vibration or vibrational frequency of electrons changing direction inside of a wire or inside of a medium, okay? Does everybody understand that? Is there any questions on that? Okay? If you were to, as a human being, perceive sound, if you were as a human being to perceive light or break down light by color frequency, you have to have inside your body a process whereby you can do the same thing internally as what you're observing externally. If the internal phenomenon is not possible, you become colorblind or sound deaf, tone deaf. All these kinds of things happen. So you have to, as a human, generate within yourself anything that you observe on the outside. Okay? Now, when you go into the phenomenon of a haunted house or an ET contact, or you look up in the sky and you see something and 10 other people don't, maybe you and one other person saw it, you're coming up now onto what I call the threshold frequencies of what your body is capable of generating in order to witness something. So some people they're very limited. If you were a very heavy, gross type of person in frequency, you probably wouldn't be able to see aura fields around other people, for example, because your body is not clear enough to interpret that. You follow what I'm saying? So it becomes important to, at some level, become a high-level sensitive. And that's what Pleiadian technology takes us through the door to becoming. That's what it has done for literally tens of thousands of people worldwide, Pleiadian technology. When we go into Andromedan technology, which we really won't get into in this seminar, because the world is not ready for that yet, but we're coming up into that, we get into what's called a holographic consciousness. Once you are able to perceive what is in your environment on different planes, then you're able to perceive what is not in your environment in your local vicinity, but somewhere else in space and time. And that becomes the holographic concept, which is a little bit more advanced. What typically happens is that people start out with Pleiadian science and change their body structures over a period of 7 years with it in one way or another. It takes about 7 years to make the jump because that's how long it takes to rejuvenate every cell in your body from blood, which is 90 days, to the bones, which is 7 years. During that process, the people that are really into it go into what we call systems, which I'll talk about briefly. When you get into systems technology takes you into the realm where you start networking with other people in the world. Some people choose to become contactees. Some people tend to become networkers for working in the vortexes of the planet and changing vortex energy, these kinds of things. For example, of how a vortex works in Laguna Beach, where we live, we're in what I would call the center of the town, or almost towards the south side of town. We're on a mountaintop. We're on top of a volcano. We have a large vortex going up through the center of our house. This vortex has been managed by probably a few Tibetan masters have been there since they've had this house. But I'm sure the Indians, before the houses were even built in Laguna Beach, lived on these vortexes. This is where they came in the summertime to camp out and meditate. The Andromedans and the Pleiadians have been involved with these vortexes, and we've had contacts over them. We have a Pleiadian Andromedan system physically located on top of one of the vortexes, which is three stories up in a house that we live in. And we share that vortex. That vortex is hooked to all vortexes in the world. We have, for example, if we go to Sedona, we'll pick up from the vortexes there a certain stone. We'll put them in the system, which brings the energy there. Then we'll go to Greece and we'll pick up some energy from a temple there and we'll put them there. And from all over the world, from Hawaii, this is how you network into all the vortexes. Okay? This particular vortex that we live on is one of the more powerful ones. And through the center of the earth, through the earth's mantle and down to the core of the earth, all vortexes are connected anyway. And these are world grids. Okay? In Europe, they talk about them as ley lines. So this all becomes necessary. So anyway, now going back here, the source of the rotating magnet phenomenon in your body is minerals, okay? Your body 5% minerals, it controls 95% of your metabolic function. Over here is the brain. When I was at the University of Michigan years ago, we studied the phenomenon of the Japanese at the Hiroshima and Nagasaki bomb explosion. Some people were very close to the bomb where it went, like we would call ground zero. They were right by the fireball. They were right by the heat and the radiation. These people, some of them didn't have any radiation damage or genetic damage long term. Other people were 30 miles away and suffered tremendous damage. So why did the ones up close have no damage and the ones far away have a lot of damage in some cases? It's because they had, the ones that survived the radiation, had large amounts of herbs in their body called Fotai, Ginseng, and Gotokoa. And what these herbs do is they produce electrolytes in the brain. And these electrolytes make possible the brain's ability to generate its own electricity, which then becomes a form of radiation through the spinal cord, okay? This is why it's very important to have these forms of herbs. I had to fight with the FDA for a number of years before we could put ginseng, for example, in our vitamin formulas. In our vitamin formulas and our herbal formulas, we put ginseng and Fotai and Gotokoa. They would allow the Fotai and the Gotokoa because they didn't know these were electrolyte herbs, but they knew ginseng was, and they called it a tonic, and they didn't want that in there. In relating that to an automobile, for example, if you had a battery in your car, the battery wouldn't be any good if you didn't have electrolytes in it. If you didn't have a battery in your car is useless. So you have to look at it that way. Down through the body, you have 72,000 major wires called nadis. And these are divided into three different major networks, each network corresponding to a vibratory frequency in your body. For example, first of all, you have your low-frequency minerals. Your low-frequency minerals are magnesium, iron, calcium, these kinds of things. They work through the autonomic nervous system. And the autonomic nervous system provides the electricity to run organs like your breathing, your heart, things you don't think about. All the things in your body that go on that you're not thinking about that have something to do with sustaining life in your form had to do with the low frequency. Then you get into the defense network and the consciousness interpreting network, which is the mid-range frequency. The mid-range is the sympathetic nervous system. The sympathetic system centers its frequency off of a mineral called chromium. If you were to get sick, what would you think would be the first, you know, a virus, a cold, a flu, what would be the first thing you'd want to put in your body? Does anybody know? What's the first nutrient, like you buy at the health food store? Vitamin C. Now, vitamin C would be the third thing, probably, because vitamin C might feed the virus that's in there. Chromium was the correct answer. Chromium is the first thing you put in your body. Does anybody know why? Why would you put chromium in over vitamin C? Yeah, it has to do with fighting, exactly. It produces helper T cells. The first thing they'll do in any serious AIDS clinic is to get people large amounts of chromium to start building helper T cells, okay? What's the second thing you want to put in your body? No. Vitamin A, exactly, to build your immune system. Okay, then you put in vitamin C and the other elements. Selenium, by the way, is used to rectify current in the body to keep electricity going one way in the nerves. Okay, which is very important to have it. It's very important. And germanium is also very powerful, but germanium is not allowed by the FDA anymore. Okay, it's been removed completely already. That's the illegal drug now. Mm-hmm. Take it off the market 30 days ago. Yeah. It's very good for the immune system. In our nuclear receptor, in the lesser expensive ones, we use large amounts of zinc and cadmium. And the reason why we use zinc, a lot of people when they wear the receptor, if you look at it, in the what I call the lower cost ones, but they're very functional, they have a different frequency than these. But if you look at them, people that need zinc, the back of it, the gold plating, will be eaten off by electrolysis. You'll see it on people. And it'll turn zinc color because their body is just dissolving it. And this thing gets lighter. And if you look at the front, you'll see a swirl pattern that'll come up on the front on one that's been worn on the person that's really using it hard, and where the electrons have undeposited the gold, and the gold energy has gone down into the body. You know, if you've had a receptor on for any length of time, you can look at it, and no two are ever the same because of the body energies, because it's an active device. All right. So chromium is very important. I'll be talking about that more in a minute. And it's like I say, germanium. See, where germanium and selenium work. Let's say, for example, your brain tells your foot to move, right? Okay, it wants a straight shot of electricity right down to the foot, and then the foot moved. Okay, we don't need any more electricity going to the foot. Stop moving foot. So a feedback pulse has to come back, right? So what happens is without selenium or germanium, the body gets the electricity, in the case of Parkinson's disease, to keep the foot moving, but it doesn't know when to stop. In the case of the other one, muscular dystrophy, there's no pulse getting down to the organ. It's a lack of a grounding problem. So muscular dystrophy is the opposite of Parkinson's disease, and both diseases require large amounts of selenium and germanium, and B6 in case of Parkinson's disease. B6 has to do also with the production of acetylcholine, which I'll get to in a minute. These are things that they always want to make illegal. Why? Because they got to have these diseases around to take your money, you know. Otherwise, and you got to die. Americans can't be living long, you know. You got to realize that 12,000 years ago on Atlantis, before the Greys interfered with the destruction of Atlantis or helped it along, you know, human beings lived about 600-800 years. We didn't live as long as the Pleiadians, but we lived half as long. When the Greys came along, 12,495 BC, in the scalar wars that they had, they flattened the human DNA curve right out to about 60, 70 years. And we're just now getting back up to 100. The Greys are masters at that. And the reason they flattened human life out, because we had 12,000 years of darkness to go through before we came into the age of light, and they didn't want humans to rise up and be powerful during the dark times, because the Greys couldn't be here then. See, at certain times when the Earth goes around the Pleiades, at certain radiations come from the Pleiades, which is called stellar influence. And during those certain times, the Greys can't be here, because they can just burn up in this radiation. They can only be here at certain times. And they're here to scavenge human souls, because they are group oversoul. They don't have individual souls. Okay, the third frequency, the third rate of vibration in the human body is the trace mineral. A trace mineral is the most important one of all, and not found in any form of nutrition. It has to be taken externally. Trace minerals have been removed from the surface of this earth since about the 1930s and 40s, when the dust bowls came in. Okay, we brought some trace minerals, I think, for you to try too, didn't we? You guys all try them already? So trace minerals are very important in the fact that they work through what's called the parasympathetic nervous network. Okay, and the parasympathetic nervous network is a series of nerves in another connection that works from the lobes of the ears to the gray matter on the stomach, and it provides what's called the psychic aerial of the body, or the energy, the consciousness of the body, that allows you to interpret the higher thoughts of God, meditation, channeling, ET contact, all the higher things that we do. It's a direct link to the higher levels. The next thing we have to look at is the enzyme factor in the body. The enzyme is, without enzymes, you can't assimilate anything. And this is the pH factor. Does anybody understand pH, potential hydrogen, what that means? You've all heard about it, right? Right. Drop this down a little bit. The alkaline balance isn't what I'm looking for. Can anybody go a little deeper on that? What? Yeah, let's look at life force itself. Find a slide in here. This is further down. See, potential hydrogen has to do with the life force itself. We're made up of oxygen, hydrogen, nitrogen, and carbon. The carbon atom is responsible for all the unification of all different cells in the body. So we have seven levels of consciousness. We have the physical, the astral, the mental, the intuitive, the Adamic, Medanic, and Logoic planes. All of these different planes of consciousness. In Pleiadian science, we learn all of these as rays or colors, because when you get into the rays or colors, it has to do with the Brahman science. But realize the Brahman science came here by the Rishis and the Pleiades 26,000 years ago, or one rotation period back, was given to us. So what's the easiest way to learn this stuff and understand it is realize that you have seven chakras inside your body. Each chakra is over an endocrine gland. Each one of these chakras is represented by a sound. In other words, A, B, C, D, E, F, and G, musically. Each one of these is a vibratory frequency. And at one level, your body is nothing more than a whole light body, meaning that this is white light as it breaks down in the prism, right? That's the life force itself. Now, chemically, what that means is that we're made up of oxygen, nitrogen, hydrogen, and carbon. The hydrogen atom, which is the pH factor in the body, becomes very important. The hydrogen atom is a proton and an electron. The electron goes around the proton. But that's about as far as physics gets you. That's not strong enough when you're dealing with interdimensional consciousness. What you have to realize is, what is the force that makes the electron go around the proton? And realize that if the body is reproducing about 52 million cells per second, if something is going on in the hydrogen atom, it's immediately affecting the cell reproductive frequencies of the body. It's instantaneous. So what happens is these seven levels of consciousness, this white light, feeds from the inside to the outside manifesting world as a hydrogen atom. And it comes in as a color. The color, the central color is green, and it's the entire color of the rainbow that feeds the hydrogen atom. Okay? The hydrogen atom, in the morning when the sun comes up, receives the red part of the rainbow at the nucleus, the proton, and the violet part of the rainbow is received at the electron. In the morning, the sound frequency for the proton would be the musical note A, and would be the musical note G for the violet over here, and C would be the center frequency. And if you ever, and then what happens is during the day, as the sun goes through the sky, this changes polarity, and when the sun sets at night, the violet has shifted over to the proton, and the red has shifted over, and so has the musical note also, the sound mantram has also switched from D over to, or A over to G. So the sound changes, the light changes. And if you ever notice, when you get up in the morning, you have one consciousness. At midnight, the next night, or that night, you have a different consciousness. You ever notice? That's because it affects everything. Okay? This is very important. When you relocate someone where they're used to a particular cycle of time, like we just did last night by changing the time, we get a little bit of shift in consciousness getting up at different hours. But if you relocate somebody continentally or nationally, you end up with jet lag. Okay? And if you take somebody and shift them, you know, clear across a universe, they have a major case of jet lag. Just by taking a person away from the sun, okay, like taking a human being away from the sun, immediately the body stops utilizing calcium. It doesn't produce calcium anymore. This is very important because if you take somebody away from the sun and they don't produce calcium, they'll die of heart failure within a certain period of time. And this is one of the greatest compounding facts that they're doing. They were deheading rats the other day trying to figure out, on the space shuttle, on the Columbia, trying to figure out what this is all about. And they'll never understand it because they don't understand how to introduce the energies, the seven levels of consciousness, into a spacecraft, like the shuttle, okay? This is NASA's biggest problem right now, okay? Understanding this. Their astronauts cannot exist. Pleiadians don't have that problem. Why? Because the Pleiadians use a propulsion system that generates the same energy as the sun, and they stabilize their metabolism to the propulsion system because it's a healing life force thing. You understand? These are the kinds of things that you get into when you get into space science, but I'm just showing you where the taxpayer money at NASA is going right now is to solve this problem. Okay, and why they're, you know, this is called space medicine. So the pH factor is very important, okay? There's a lot of ways, like when you travel on jets, there's a lot of things you can do to deal with this problem. The other interesting thing is that this center frequency, which is green, which is, by the way, a female energy, whereas these others are male energies, the color of nature, it never shifts. It's a constant. The female energy is a constant thing on the body all the time. Now we go from the enzymes to the vitamins. Okay, what is a vitamin? A vitamin is a unit of biochemistry containing light frequency. Okay, that's what a vitamin is. So that means, very simply, that each vitamin that you know, vitamin A, vitamin B, vitamin C, would fall, once again, into a color of frequency of light. And when you know how to diagnose your body as deficiencies of light, you can use light and the vitamins right, you know, side by side. For example, the immune system likes to see red. You go down to our booth, you'll see red lasers firing in the crystals. This builds the immune system. That's why we use them. Because it puts the astral body, the astral energies, right down on the physical plane in its pure form of vitamin A. Okay? Vitamin C, for example, is a very powerful vitamin out of nature, right? It's very much in plant life. It's green. It falls into the green spectrum. The mental plane, which is yellow, which is also the intuitive plane, rather, which is yellow, the intuition, you know, the sensing of the body, is the B complex. And whenever you get paranoid, for example, paranoia is the destruction of, you put some substance or done some or lack some substance in your body and you get paranoid, which is created by smog, alcohol, drugs, tobacco, stress. These all produce paranoia. It becomes a massive B deficiency. So you put the B complex into the body. The B complex, we use them in our vitamins, but we go all the way out to B17. But the AMA would prefer that the public, before they took all our vitamins away, would have stopped at B6. Okay? Why would they stop at B6? Because the vitamins from B12 to B17 are called nitrilicides. Nitrilicides deal with toxic energies that are put into our foods as part of the killer program to kill people. These are nitrates, monosodium glutamates, all the stuff that are used preservatives, irradiation of food, stripping of a husk, vitamin A and D in milk. All these things cause you not to have a perfect functioning intuitive body, become paranoid and get diseases like cancer, and they have terms like carcinogenic that are attached to them. You follow me? So it becomes necessary when you understand all this stuff. I don't expect it to get it all now. It's in my tape series and my seminars that we do in Laguna and stuff. We go into it way deeper. I'm just giving you an overview today of a door that you can go through to really understand where your feelings and emotions come from. You know, if you can't do it for yourself, you might be able to do it for your children. So vitamins are units of biochemistry containing light. We go from vitamins to protein. Now we're getting a heavier substance. We get protein, we're getting down into carbohydrates and fat. We're getting into things that become soluble. We get into things that you can sense. Like, for example, runaway protein is cancer in the body, which becomes malignant. Malignant means it's spreading. Benign means it's just one tumor. The only difference. Protein, we go into peptides, polypeptides, neuropeptides, and from there, we go into the hormone. The hormone is the first unit of biochemistry that possesses consciousness. Okay? Everybody understand that? Any questions on what we've covered so far? Now, I'm going to show you something. Before I go too far, I want to show you something, how ELF works. Okay? Now, in your body, if you don't have hormones, you don't have consciousness. No sexual hormones, no sex, no desire, nothing. If you don't have any vasopressin, which is a pituitary hormone, or oxytocin, you won't have any creativity. You won't have any positive feelings. If you don't have epinephrine, norepinephrine, which are hormones from the stomach area, solar plexus area, you'll have no energy. You may have a lot of creativity, but you're laying flat in bed, you can't get out of it. So you have to have hormones to do anything that has to do with the body being involved. If you want to go into your astral body and do everything there and forget the physical body, then you don't need hormones. But you might need hormones to keep your physical body alive. You understand how important they are. Okay, now, what happens is, the first thing that they started to do, they created what's called the B3 scare, the niacin scare, which they're still putting pressure on, which is a very important enzyme in the body, because what niacin does is it gets rid of the toxic effects of ELF and other food substances that go in the body. Extremely low frequency waves. They were developed during World War II, during submarine warfare. communications. Of course, they've gone a long way since then. They're working on ELF research currently at Scripps Laboratory down in San Diego, and a lot of different facilities are working on ELF. What happens is the body. Now, we're going to go back to the intelligence now. I'm going to make another point real quick. We're going to go back up a step before minerals, which is called DNA. Okay? Everybody know what DNA is? Okay, DNA is deoxyribonucleic acid. Okay? Now, this is a side conversation here, okay, about DNA. If you were to look and go back, everybody has this slide down, right? Back up to my first slide here. Hope I'm not going too fast for you. I'm trying not to, but at the same time, I'd want to get a point across. I'll definitely go over my time. The next person doesn't come in until 4 o'clock. Am I going too fast for anybody? Yeah.
I was just going to say, because all the knowledge in the earth, and the soil, and the water, I said, the way we use it, we make it all, it's still green, but the pharmaceutical is $100 billion a year, so they can't make any money off it. But, you know, in the company, they don't want to, because it's cheaper than they use, but then, the part of tying in with the grain, that it's not impossible,
no, they're related. Trust me. I've been there. I've seen them. I've been in their laboratories. It's worldwide. As a matter of fact, it's interplanetary. Now, if we were working as an engineer, okay, we're just going to be engineers for a minute. I'm going to show you something. Okay, if we're engineers and we were working, like, say, with a television set, or we were moving frequency around, like in the body, I'll show you how frequency is moved around in a minute. But I'll show you, first of all, how it's done. Let's, for example, say we were making a Tesla coil. You've all heard of those, right? If we had a Tesla coil, what we would do is we would have a coil. This is a symbol for what's called the primary coil. This would be the bottom part down here. Okay, the thing at the bottom of the coil. This primary, this few turns on the primary of the Tesla coil, we would hook this, of course, to a electrostatic source or a source of energy, and we have a capacitor across it. What we would basically do is we would create a random spark here, you know, just a high voltage spark, C spark, and an AC spark is a random spark with millions of different frequencies in it. Millions of frequencies. It could be every frequency there is. What would happen is this capacitor, it would have a capacitor, which is the two big plates with a tuning, and we'd have a coil. And this coil would have a certain amount of turns, probably 7 or 8 turns on it. And this would become a tank circuit. It's called a tank circuit. And it would trap a certain frequency. Okay? It would be, we'd just call that frequency of X of 1. Now we'd have to amplify this. This is 3 or 4 turns and the spark gap with a lot of current. Now we'd have to make this a really high voltage. We've got a frequency here. We don't have any voltage. We've got a lot of current. We've got something trapped at a certain frequency. So now we would put this huge coil on it out here like this and connect it to ground, with ground at common ground here, which on a Tesla coil, here would be the primary. Now you'd have this great big coil going all the way up with this electrode on it at the top. And this, of course, would be a few turns down here, and this would be drawing as many turns here, and this would cause this voltage to go way up and spark all over the place. This becomes a tuned tank circuit, okay? If we were in a radio, making a radio or a television set, we would have to take the frequency off the antenna and eventually break it down to the audio and video frequencies. So we'd have a whole series of these things. We call that an IF strip, intermediate frequency strip. We'd have a local oscillator. Bottom line is what I'm saying is we'd have a whole lot of different tunes. Some of these coils would have iron in them. Some of them would be air, depending on what frequencies we were playing with. Okay, this is how electronics work. All right. Now, let me show you how DNA works. DNA, first of all, you've got a whole series of sugars and phosphates. And so you have, and these are formed on T ladders, like this. They're called H, and then this is turning. And these, each one of these has a frequency going this way and a frequency going that way. And so you end up with 4 basic amino acids, and 2 are sugars and 2 are phosphates, okay? And these are moving electricity. So you have this big, long, 3-foot long strand of fat, sugars and phosphates together, conducting a whole lot of electricity, just like a spark gap. Okay? And I remember this. The four basic amino acids, when they hit the atmosphere, you know, this is a whole new world now. There's nobody living here. These amino acids are present. No life forms on the planet until you get a spark, right? As soon as a spark from electricity or something goes off, immediately life starts on the planet. Any scientist that knows any salt will tell you that, okay? That's common.
And the next word I would have used there was sense, common sense. And what the point that I was making, and this is me live again, the point that I was making in this lecture, I got cut off because I'd run out of time, so they cut the tapes off. They're not very bright. But the point I was making is that's how life starts on a planet, the four basic amino acids. From those four basic amino acids, then what happens is consciousness becomes mixes with it. It begins to form the very, very brief life forms in the planet. In other words, some simple cells start to form, some protein starts to form, and so on it goes. You have a whole system of formation of things that really don't have much substance, something like a slug or a snail. And it takes a lot of evolution. And usually at some point in this massive protein formation, in these very basic cell structures are forming, some level of consciousness comes in and starts to work with them from the other side. It begins to form them into basic life forms, usually underwater, because most things start under the water and go from there. They go from oceanic to the shore. They come out of the water and they move up on the shore and they crawl around and they mutate. And this takes millions of years. That's the beauty of life. And then at some point, a higher consciousness, usually not an extraterrestrial, but another type, something higher than that, will come along and take it to the next step. And finally, an extraterrestrial, we would call an extraterrestrial source, would come along and take it from the step beyond that. And so it goes. And that was part of a 1994 UFO lecture that I did. It'll show up in San Francisco. We're going to have more shows like that. And there'll be a continuation of this lecture at some point in my tape series. But that... I probably had 45 minutes speaking time at that particular conference, and of course, knowing me, I always go over my speaking times anyway, and they kick me out. They're probably mad at me. And I hope everybody's having a good time listening and enjoying the show. And hopefully, we're going to get up to 14. I actually have rumors that there's going to be 14 or 15 listeners coming on board more, so we could have as high as 20. That would be really good. Then I can cover some deeper subjects. But anyway, until the next time, the next show. And we'll go from here, from there. And I hope you guys have all a great week. Send me emails fredbell@pyridyne.com, fredbell@pyridyne.com. Like I say, I need another 8 testimonials to have a 100% pure record from my own self-rated system. And I don't have any other way of judging myself but myself. And so until I get more questions from you, we're going to continue on and have some fun. Pyridyne website's being upgraded and updated. We're doing a lot of things over there. I'm adding a lot of Dr. Horowitz's books. We'll have those available. And if the current event doesn't occur in the next few days, we'll keep the other stuff up on blog web service. Look at the back pages of my blog BBS radio system. Look at the back pages now. There's more information going up there, pictures, etc. I'm trying to get the pictures caught up with the show. I'm way behind. Obviously, there's shows and shows and shows that don't have the proper documentation. What I'm going to do, as I said earlier, in the very, very beginning of all of this, I'm going to, as I start to put the book together and bring it out, I'm going to be updating the pictures on the website so that when you read the book, that's the side track, you'll be able to go to the website, and either Pyridyne or bloginservice.com, to get great documentation. If I can talk Donald Newsom into doing animations, we might even do some animations this time. That's the kind of thing I want to do, kind of a literary book with an e-book background or a backup to it. So once again, I look forward to seeing you guys. Get comments over to me, and we'll talk at the next show. Bye.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a bloginservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.